What kind of man welcomes the company of the hurting, helpless, and the hopeless?
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of a man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our dusty old religion into a brand new relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but then allow that same flesh to be torn apart?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal?
Insults.
Torture.
Mockery.
And death.
And yet, live to tell about it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with compassion?
Who could be strong enough to still the storms, yet be so meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed into a wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault, but still endure the judgment others deserve?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody. Who will love us like him? Who will be with us when all others have left?
Who comforts us in suffering?
Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when my mind is drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, with no strings attached?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Who else can turn the grave into Easter morning?
Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
Morning. Morning. All right. The tomb is empty, amen? All right, today we're here to celebrate our risen Lord, resurrected on the third day, 2,000 years ago. Let's stand up. Let's celebrate.
Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
His love for me, I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned.
Sins.
He took my sins and my sorrow. He made them his very own.
Yes, he did.
And he bore the burden of Calvary and suffered and died alone.
Come on.
Singing, how marvelous, how wonderful.
It will be my joy through the ages Resurrected glory. All the voices singing, how marvelous, how marvelous,
how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love.
Amen. Are we free? Did he set the captives free? Through you the kingdom comes. soul sings what?
I am free.
Come on, sing it out, you're free. You guys ready to sing it? Yeah? Sing it, I am free.
Lord God, we are so thrilled that we have freedom in you. Freedom in Christ makes you free indeed if you are free in the Son. And so, Lord God, we come to you today. We thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus, and for his death, his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. That gives us eternal life. And we're so thrilled just to be here on this Easter Sunday to celebrate that. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we do have Sunday school today. So if you want to take your kids to our Shoreline Sunday School, for the rest of you, greet somebody around you and say, Happy Easter. Happy Easter. There we go. Good having everybody here today. We're glad that you're here for our Resurrection Easter Sunday. You are a part of our third service of the day. We had a sunrise service outside, and it was March, and it wasn't freezing cold. That's awesome. And then we ended up having our early service today, which had several people in it, and so we're glad that you guys are, I believe that God's saving the best for last, right? Here we go. So it's been awesome so far, and many of you were able to be here for part of our Good Friday service, which was one of my favorite services of the year, and just a great time to be here with the Lord. So if you're visiting today, welcome. We're glad you are here, not just because it's Easter, but we're just glad that you're here all the time. We believe God brought you here. Like I said, the people who are here get tired of me saying this, but we believe that you're not here by mistake, that God brought you here, and we just want you to, number one, relax, have a great time, and connect to the Lord, and hopefully you'll just have an awesome time together. And if you received a card, fill that out. I know some people already have, and we have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of our worship today. A couple of different things. Some people, if you want to find out more about Haven, you can see that we'll have that information in there as well. Always looking for anybody who would like to work with a Sunday school, and there you can go ahead and be part of that. Dining for Women, you have to be a woman to be part of that, and I guess you have to have an appetite, but you may not have to have an appetite. But Judy's here. If you have any more information, you can also connect with her through her email. The youth are going to do a 30-hour famine Friday and Saturday, April 29th through the 30th. The date was the 22nd through the 23rd, but it's changed, and hopefully you'll see that to the 29th through the 30th. Cinco de Mayo, we're having it's also the National Day of Prayer, and we're going to be having a National Day of Prayer service here. It's going to be really kind of cool, so if you'd like to be part of that, it'll be about an hour. And we'll start that on Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May. angel gown mission. You can see some of those and the information there. Also, for people not only here but around our community, last year we did this for the first time. It was very well received, and it we did a Narcan training. We recognized the issues with addiction and drugs in our community and in the world, and many people are going through the Narcan training. We have this here in order to help with that situation, to help save someone's life. And so if you'd like to be part of that, you can come here. We'll go ahead and have the training, and there's also a doctor there that does the prescriptions right on site so that you can have them. It's a great opportunity. Tell your friends, tell anybody you'd like. We'd love to have them come. That's April the 12th, and you can see the more information about registering or being part of that as well. Paris Foundation will be on April 17th, which is a wonderful day in history. It's my birthday. If anybody's never served in Paris Foundation, I'd love for you to get a chance to connect. It's in Elkton right next to the Pretzel Factory. And many of you who have been around for a while know Mike Brandon, the director, who has filled in for me and done a fantastic job there. All right? You can also look at the Easter lilies that we have in our church that were left in honor or memory of individuals. And we also want to move now to the time where we lift up our prayer requests. And we've got a couple of them here, so let me get through some of these. Let me go ahead. Trying to get through them. All right. There we go. Donna Wiggum, praise Aunt Dot is off. Okay, yep, and holding on her own. She was here today, right? Dot, your Aunt Dot, not our Aunt Dot, your Aunt Dot. Okay, so lots of Aunt Dots. So we want to thank God for that. Emma Gale, for the Caricelli family for losing their father Thursday morning, and asking for prayers for Carly, 15, and Tyler, 18, while they are dealing with the loss. And this is a second loss in a short amount of time. Also, Donna asked for a praise. Brother Mike is home and doing well, and prayer for surgery in May. Natalie Hama asked for prayer for her mom, which is my sister, Jill. You notice Jill's absent from up here. Jill has had the beginning stages of the flu, and they are leaving for vacation tonight. So you want to pray for them. She's not able to be with us in present, but I know she is probably joining us online today. So we want to lift them in prayers. Is there anyone else that we need to lift up? Yeah, Doug. Okay. The Myers family, Mr. Myers passed away. He was 88 or 89 years old. Okay, we want to lift them in your prayers. Anyone else? Yes.
My mom just had surgery, recovering, but she's not.
Okay, what's her name?
Carol.
Carol. We want to lift Carol in prayers for having surgery. And any others? Okay, well, we want to go ahead and continue with our prayers. Gary? Okay, so if anybody came in and did not see Gary or someone else with a card, please go ahead and do that so that we can help connect with you. And again, we're thankful for you being here. All right, so at this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we also honor God with our tithe and offerings. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and we just thank you for the many blessings that you've given to us. And we thank you ultimately for this day that we call Easter, but is Resurrection Sunday. We are grateful for your Holy Spirit that raised you from the dead, that also lives within us. But ultimately, God, we are just thankful that you love us so much, that you can bring us into this place, that you could have left us could have just said, hey, I'm done with these people. There's nothing that I can do for them. They're sinful. They'd never do what I want them to. And we would have just been stuck with eternal death. But God, you love us so much that you sent your son Jesus into the world to teach us, to show us an example, but more importantly, to live, die, and rise again. Through him, we are given so many great things. But the ultimate gift is of life. And not just this life, but eternal life. So God, we just thank you for all that you do for us. And then we also recognize in the midst of that there are many people here who are struggling in their own lives, struggling with the situations that we've lifted up for prayer concerns. And God, we need a touch from you. We need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in those areas. Some of us may have been rolling along, God, and then all of a sudden it seems like we're so far away from you. You haven't moved, but we need you to move in our lives. And that's why we're here today. So, Lord, during the remainder of this time, just make yourself more aware to us of who you are. As we take this time to go ahead and continue our worship, as we go back and we give your tithe and our offerings, God, just multiply it, use it like you did with the loaves and the fish. Not for us and not for us to have buildings and other kinds of things like that, but God, that we can do your ministry that you have for us to do. Because it should all be about you. And if our ministry is not about you, there's nothing. As the Apostle Paul said, if Christ did not raise from the dead, then our teaching is in vain and we are to be pitied above all people. But God, we are not to be pitied because we know that you raised from the dead. And that event, that single event, changed all the world. So be with us through your Holy Spirit during the rest of this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome. And the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. Will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is one. will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will
rise. Morning. We have three scriptures this morning. The first is John 11, verses 1 through 4. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Then we jump to verses 20 through 25. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." Then we're going to go to Matthew 25, verses 5 and 6. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him."
Right, if you're not ready now, what will you be ready for, right? Happy Easter. Oh, you can do better than that. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right, here we are. You guys should be hepped up on candy by already, right? All that stuff. So, you guys eating any? Who's eating candy already? Let's see. Okay, there we go. Okay, some of the adults are raising hands. I caught you. Okay. Well, good. So you should be ready, wide awake and ready to go. Welcome. Today we are starting a new series, so it's a good time to be here. First of all, thank you. We're glad that you're joining us here today, that you could have chose a lot of different places to connect, to worship, and we're glad that you chose Haven Community Church. Whether here, we know we have some people that are online watching. Welcome to our online church. And it's really awesome that everybody is connecting today. Christians around the world are connecting and celebrating our risen Christ, Jesus the Lord. And that fact changes absolutely everything. In fact, everything is about Jesus. And we're starting, as I said, this brand new series. We just came through a series called One Month to Live. And now we're starting a series today called I Am Jesus. Now, if you're new, I want to get this across. My initials are JC, but I am not Jesus. I want to make that very clear so everybody knows that. So you don't go and say, I've seen the Lord. I don't want you to get that mixed up at all today. But I did meet somebody one time who thought they were Jesus, but I'm pretty sure 99.9999% that they weren't Jesus. They're probably locked up somewhere right now. But anyway, over the next 4 weeks, what we are going to do is we are going to deal with we're going to be in the Gospel of John, and we're going to deal with the I am sayings of Jesus. And you might say, what are the I am sayings or statements of Jesus? Well, Jesus said seven different things, and I'll go through some of them, and I'll tell you some of the ones that we're going to do. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Number two, he said, and these are all in John's Gospel, said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you will never go hungry again. He said, I am the gate, or I am the door in which you enter. Next week, I'm going to talk about one which is one of the most special illustrations of the I am statements, which is, I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for my sheep. And it means a lot to me, and I promise it'll also crack you up. You'll have a good time with it. We'll have some fun. But I remember my seminary professor really opening up this whole I am the good shepherd and what it means. So I'd love for you to be back and check that with us next week. He also said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again. And in the fourth and final week of our series, we will be doing, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. And so today, we're going to deal with another one of the I am statements, and it's, I am the resurrection and the life. So I want you to say that with me. I am the resurrection and the life. I am, let's try this again. You say resurrection and life. I am, there we go. That's real good, real good. So what is a resurrection? Well, resurrection is when something dies and then comes back to life. And I want to share with you a real life story about a resurrection in my house. Got your attention now, don't I? And it happened several years ago after we went to a carnival, or it might have been the fair, and we brought home a fish. His name was Smelly Flowers. I don't joke, his name was Smelly Flowers. And you know, usually you bring these things home, they die before you get them home, right? Well, Smelly Flowers was a special, besides his name, he was a special fish. And we had him in a bowl, and he grew, and he grew, and he grew, and he grew, and he got so big that we had to get a bigger bowl. And we got one of the biggest bowl you could possibly have. And Smelly Flowers was literally about this big, wasn't he? Swimming around. It was a big bowl. And he was just swimming. And so Smelly Flowers was our fish. And then one day, I'm not going to say Melissa did it, but Melissa did it. She filled the bowl a little too full. And Smelly Flowers decided to escape. I came in the kitchen, and on the floor was Smelly Flowers, not moving. And my kids were so young at the time, I didn't want to deal with the whole kind of death kind of thing. And I'm like, oh no, Smelly Flowers. And so I picked Smelly Flowers up, and I didn't give him mouth to mouth, don't worry about that. But I picked Smelly Flowers up, and I was like, oh God, please, you know, kind of one of these quick prayers, please, please don't let Smelly Flowers be dead. So I stuck him in the water, and I took his tail, and I whipped it around, and I flicked him in the head. It's kind of like a laying on of hands. And I was moving him around and moving around and kept doing it. Come on, Smelly Flowers. Come on, Smelly Flowers. And wouldn't you know, Smelly Flowers started to move a little bit. And then he'd start to roll. And I was like, no. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. And Melissa's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm saving Smelly Flowers. Pray. Let's go. So we're moving Smelly Flowers around. And do you know, Smelly Flowers started swimming around that bowl until about 3 days later and he was dead. But anyway, it was a resurrection story for a while. Didn't you like that one? Now, here's the thing. I've got a greater resurrection story for you, and his name is Jesus. And it has nothing to do with Smelly Flowers. It was a garden, and I'm sure they smell very good. But a lot of people have heard Jesus' statement, I am the resurrection and the life. But I want to tell you, he did not say this on Easter. He said it in a totally different area. He said it in an area with a guy named Lazarus. And you have your bulletins today, so I want you to go ahead and utilize them, if you will. And We can see that in John chapter 11, verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and life. But this is a story of a guy named Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. We've talked about Mary and Martha a lot. We shared our favorite, one of my favorite stories is when Mary is laying at the feet of Jesus and Martha's trying to cook and clean and get everything ready and she's aggravated. Lord, tell her to come in there and do it. And Jesus kind of says, Martha, 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 you need to just, she's doing what's right. You can do that a lot of times. We talk about that story, but this one tells us a lot more about this. And we look, and it, you have in your bulletin, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, I pulled out my old Bible today. I wanted to go old school. A lot of times I use this, the iPad, and use YouVersion and the NIV Study Bible, and I like it. And I pulled this out, and I got to tell you, something happened, like the words got smaller on the page. In the last couple years, you know, and I think my arm's a little bit shorter because I keep doing this kind of thing a little bit. And Debbie DiVirgilio the other night during Bible study gave me a pair of reading glasses, and they worked. So I don't like that at all because I'm much too young for this kind of stuff. But anyway, I was looking at this, and it forced me to really focus on the things, on the words. But right now I'm going to use this one. Because you can make it as big as you would like. See how much bigger that is? Isn't that wonderful? I'm at about 12-point type now. Pretty soon, by the end of the year, I'll probably be 14. But we see right here in John chapter 11, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now, this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume over the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. It was a very expensive perfume. It could have paid wages for a year, and it made Judas a little bit upset. So the sister sent word. These were very close to Jesus. They were like his additional family, his adoptive family. So the sister sent word to Jesus, the one you love is sick. The one you love is sick. Now, this was bad news in the middle of life. Has anybody ever gotten bad news in the middle of life? Like, life's just rolling on, and then you get this bad news that it comes out of nowhere. That there's a lot of people, I realize, that in this season are celebrating really cool things, but then you hear bad news in the midst of it. And what I find more and more, there's a lot of people who are hurting. Some people have heard maybe this similar thing, this similar news where you hear the one you love is sick, that your good friend, your spouse, your parents, you find out that they're really, really, really sick. Someone you're close to has cancer or something else that's bad and terminal. Or maybe the job that you love, you're going ahead with it, you're doing well, and then all of a sudden they call you in and they say, well, I hate to, it's nothing that you've done, but we just got to let you go. Or that dream marriage that you had looked for that person all your life, all of a sudden has turned into a complete nightmare. It's not working out at all, and it's just it's hell on earth. Or that close friend that you were vulnerable with and you shared with and you told things to, that relationship broke and now you're vulnerable and it didn't work out. Or if you're a parent, the principal calls and it's not to tell how your child just made the honor roll. They have something to deal with and your kid is in trouble. So you got bad news, something that's not really good. I remember a couple instances that I shared today. I remember 18 years ago, right before Thanksgiving, receiving a call about a young 25-year-old man, young man, whose family was in my church at the time, and he had been in a motorcycle accident and been burned very badly. And I remember over the next month visiting him at Chester Crozier Burn Center. And I remember a couple days before Christmas receiving another call that he had died from sepsis and other kinds of things. Not a good call. I remember another time when I was down in Lewis, Delaware, there was a guy named Rick. And Rick was just a jovial kind of guy. Rick was just one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. Matter of fact, every time I think of him, I think of him with a straw hat. Anybody remember the A-Team? Show the A-Team? I remember him with a straw hat and a big cigar in his mouth. And every time I'd see him, I'd look at him and I'd go, I love it when a plan comes together, like Hannibal did. And we'd laugh and we'd go on. And he was a guy who became the foundation and the rock for this family. He was the father to two of his grandchildren because their father was a Delaware State policeman who, while he was in pursuit behind a drunk driver, he was hit head-on and killed. And here were these young kids that looked to Rick as Rick became their not only grandfather but their father. And I remember I had come back up from the Lewis area to my house, and as soon as I got home, I got a call from someone that said, Rick has had a heart attack, and they wanted to get him to Christiana Hospital. But here's the problem. At that night, it was a summer night, and there was thunderstorms in the air, and they couldn't fly out of BB to get him here. So they said, we're going to take him by ambulance, and we're going to try to get him to Christiana, but if not, we're going to hope to get him to Dover because they're set up to deal with heart. And on my way down, I got a call that said, something happened. They had to pull into Milford Memorial Hospital. Milford is not set up for emergencies like that. I remember going into that place with Rick and his large family sitting there. And I still remember that doctor. I saw the doctor and the nurse came out, and I knew immediately this was not going to be good. And I remember the doctor looking at his wife and saying, I'm sorry, your husband has passed. And I saw family break down and fall apart because they got the worst news that they didn't expect. They had just been out to dinner a little bit ago, and he didn't feel well. And he went and sat in the car. How could this guy so full of life and vibrance all of a sudden in just a few hours be gone from them? Bad news. Jesus heard this bad news, the one he loved about and cared about. When I hear that somebody who I love and care about is not doing well or sick in need, what do? You take off and go, don't you? In the middle of this, when Jesus heard this news, he says something amazing. He said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that the Son may be glorified in it. In other words, what Jesus starts to say is, the very thing that you'd hate to hear, the very bad news that you're going to hear, God is going to use to be glorified in it. Now, due to time, I'm going to just give you a summary of what goes on for the verses 5 through 14. It's rather interesting because now that Jesus has this news, he's getting out of town and going there, right? No. As a matter of fact, what he does, when Jesus hears this term, he makes a statement and he does nothing. He does nothing for 2 days. You see, Jesus is just kicked back, hanging out there. They're freaking out. He's hanging out. Have you ever had a time in your life where you cried out to God for something, it's not working, and you just feel like he's hanging out while you're freaking out? If you have breath in your lungs, you probably have been there. But 2 days later, Jesus says, hey, let's go back to Judea. And that's where Bethany is. Now, the interesting thing is, it had gotten to the point that people wanted to kill Jesus. And so he says, hey, let's go back because Lazarus has fallen asleep and I'm going to wake him. Now, I got to ask a question. I want you to respond to this. How many of you, when you are sick, like you have the flu or something like that, the only thing you want to do is be left alone and crawl in the covers and sweat it off? How many? Okay. Now, how many of you, when you're sick, you need somebody to be right there with you, hold your hand, and baby you the whole time? What is wrong with you? Okay? but that's how some of us are differently. But listen to what happens. He's sick, and he says he's asleep. So what happens? The disciples say, oh, good, he's sleeping. Just let him alone. He'll get well. And then Jesus says, no. Let me tell you something. He's dead. Lazarus is dead. And I'm going back. Now, keep in mind, Lazarus is now dead because Jesus hung out for a while. The disciples know that there's people that want to kill Jesus, and because they associated with him, them too. And then we have this great verse. So Jesus says in verse 14, he says, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there so you may believe, but let us go. Now Thomas, whose name is, who was also called Didymus. Everybody say with me, Didymus. Say Didymus. Doesn't it sound like a bad rapper's name? I'm P. Didymus. All right? Yo, P. Didymus here, okay? Didymus and Thomas mean the same thing. It's a nickname. The nickname is this, twin. Now, many scholars believe that Thomas looked a lot like Jesus, that he looked like Jesus, that when people saw him, that when they were in crowds, they'd go up to him and say, are you Jesus? He'd say, no, I'm Didymus, I'm Thomas, I'm P. Diddy. Okay, that's me. And he goes over to him. Now look at this response. I love this. This is somebody who's powerful. And in the rest of this sermon today, I'm going to share three people and how their lives are and how they relate to dead areas of our lives, to dead ends. And here we go. Thomas. Thomas, the first blank on your sheet is Thomas displays that he was dead in his doubts. Remember Doubting Thomas? This is him. In this time, I want to tell you, he's not only Doubting Thomas, but he's Sarcastic Thomas. And I love him for it. And I want to read to you what he says. He says simply this. Then Thomas, known as Didymus, says this. Jesus said, he's dead, and we're going to go there and wake him up. And Thomas says this. Oh, let us go too, so that we may die with him. Now keep in mind, who did I say he looks like? Now, if somebody wants to kill Jesus, how many are you going to be excited about, if you look like somebody who they wanted to kill, how many are you going to be excited about going to that area? This is Thomas saying, oh, great, I'm done. I might as well just, oh, great, we can go to sleep too. I'm going to be dead. This is what's going to happen to me. And what it was is Thomas is doubting. He's got dead doubt. He's got doubt in his death here. He's dead in his own doubts. He's Doubting Thomas. Throughout the whole scripture, we know him as Doubting Thomas. In other words, he's saying, you know what? This is not going to turn out good for me. This is not good. So I want to ask you a question today. How many of you would be honest enough to say that you've had spiritual doubts in your life? Anybody? All right, good. Because everybody in their point has had some spiritual doubts. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, go ahead and polish your halo for the rest of the service, because we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk to the people who really have some doubts. You know, like you're going along with life, you've prayed about something, you believed it, you trusted God, God doesn't answer, and all of a sudden, bam, it hits you and you start to have all these doubts. Not only about can God, will God, it will God, is God, and you have all these doubts that flood your mind. You start to say, why didn't you do that? Or you may have had a class. You may have gone on in your faith for years, and then you have a class, and it's the first instructor to ever challenge you about faith. And you begin to start to question and have doubt. Well, maybe it's a faith in something like my parents taught me. And you start to have doubts. You believed in God, and something really bad happens to someone you love. And you say, well, if God is really good and loving, then why did he do that? If God is all powerful, why didn't he stop it? You don't know what to do, and you just start to have all these doubts about God. And if we're honest, I think all of us have been there at one point or another. So many of us are dead in our doubts. But then we have Mary. Now the story continues. They head back, and as they're heading back, we have Mary. Now, keep in mind, the last time we talked to Mary, and we're going to be in verse 20, when we saw Mary, she was at the feet of Jesus. She was close to him. She's wiping his feet with perfume. She's just sitting there every word he says. But Jesus didn't get there in time, and she's discouraged. And many of us live lives dead in discouragement. You just don't see the good happening anywhere. You just can't seem to get a break. If it wasn't for bad news, you wouldn't have any news at all. And I want to take you to verse 17. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found out that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was a little 2 miles from Jerusalem. And now we pick up in verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary did what? Where was Mary? Now, this is Mary who's at the feet of Jesus, breaking open a year's worth of salary on Jesus and wiping it with her hair, but she is so discouraged at this point that she can't even leave to go meet him at this point. She's saying, why bother? I mean, why did he even show up now? 4 days later, he's dead. There's nothing that can be done about this. And honestly, that may be where some of you are today. You may say, I can't change anything. I'm always going to be alone and feel alone. I'm always going to be a depressed person in my life. I'm going to be stuck in this dead-end job for the rest of my existence. I'm never going to have the marriage that I thought I was going to have initially. I'm just stuck, and you're discouraged in life. Anybody been discouraged? You may be there right now. But you're not going to show it on Easter, because if this was an Easter many years ago, we'd have a bunch of bonnets on. And we'd all be sitting around, and we'd be looking. And you guys look pretty good today. Look around. You guys look pretty good today. But we always put on our best stuff, and you're really good at the churchy talk, aren't you, when you're discouraged? For instance, somebody say, how you doing? And you'll say, praise the Lord. It's hallelujah. Or you say, oh, well, you know, I just thank you, Jesus. Even though inside you just got life falling apart and you're so discouraged. And you say, yeah, glory to God, he's risen. Uh-huh. But you're out here saying, he is risen indeed. You remember the old saying? Where they say, he is risen. And people say, he is risen. And meanwhile, in your life, you feel like he's done nothing because you got this big hole called discouragement that just eats away at you. And you can say he has risen indeed, but you really feel like he's still in the tomb in your life because he's not done what you needed him to do. You're smiling on the outside, but on the inside, you're really discouraged. Some are dead in their doubts. Some are dead in discouragement. The third person in the story, Martha. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. Martha is dead in her delay, in the delay. He took so long. Jesus should have come back sooner. He should have been there. Where were you? You weren't here. You needed to be here. Why did he take so long? On verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found out that Lazarus had been in the tomb for how long? 4 days. 4 days. Why is that important? I'm going to tell you why. Because it's not biblical, it's not Christian, but there was a cultural belief that if somebody died, that there's a dead body, but their spirit kind of hung around and stayed close just in case. And so after 4 days, he was really dead. So like, anybody, Princess Bride fans? He was only mostly dead, all right? He was only mostly dead for the first couple days was the belief. But guess what? After 4 days, he's dead. He's dead. He's real dead. He's so dead, he's deader than dead. He's dead. Got it? He's been in there 4 days. I'll tell you how dead he is. Because Martha, when Jesus starts talking about rolling away the stone, Martha even tells you how dead he is. This is her brother who she's grieving over. And I love the King James here, because he says, when he gets to the point of rolling away the stone, she says, but Lord, he's been in there 4 days, and he, quote, stinketh much. That's really stinking. We might call it, he's stanky, right? But she says, Lazarus has been in there 4 days, Lord, and it's hot here, he stinketh much. Anybody have teenagers? Teenager stinketh much, am I right? You multiply that by 25,000, you got what Lazarus was smelling like. He stinks really, really bad. She knows it. He's dead. He's really, really dead. The spirit's gone. He's not mostly dead. He's fully dead, and he stinketh. And she says this in John 11:11. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever had those moments in your life when you say, God, if you had just been here, if you had just been here at that right time, if you had just been here, that person wouldn't be gone. If you had just been here, God, on time, that accident wouldn't happen. If you had just been here, God, if you had just been here, where were you? You weren't there, God. And many of us feel right in that place now that we're dead in our delay. You're waiting on some unanswered prayer and some result, and guess what? He's still not showing up. And when he shows up, you're like, if you've been here, it's too late. There's a lot of young men and women who, and I'm going to say for ladies as well here, some young ladies who want to get married. You've been praying about getting married for a long, long time. You've been trying to live right, trying to wait on the right person for God, trying to form the right relationships, not to get in with bad people. And then you have those friends who they're getting married, and you're always a bridesmaid, never a bride, and you're buying dresses, but none of them are white, and you're frustrated, and you're aggravated, and you start to say, God, I've been praying for this. Where is it? Or you're a young couple and you've been praying to have a child. You want to have a child, you want to have a child, you want to have a child. Everybody in your small group or everybody in the group that you go around with, they seem to be having children. And you're saying, "Yoo-hoo, God, if you just show up, this would be good." Or you're praying for someone who's far away from God, and you've been praying for them and praying for them and praying for them and praying for them. And the more you pray, the further they seem to get away. And you say, "Come on, God, what's the delay? Get on with it and get here." And nothing. Nothing. And you begin to ask, "Why, God?" Or you may have been somebody that actually prayed sometime to heal someone. You read in the scripture where two or three are gathered, so are you. And if the prayer of the righteous man avails much, and so you get together and you lay hands, as the Bible says, as James, the brother of Jesus, said, and you pray on them and anoint them, and they don't get well. And you say, "Where are you?" But I hope you hear what I'm going to say right now. That God's delays are never God's denials. Just because God has not done something yet does not mean that God is not still in charge and can still make a difference and glorify himself. Like I said, I picked up this old school Bible. This was given to me by my parents in my first sermon I ever gave. And they didn't buy me large print at the time. But I started to look at the story in my Bible. This has another cover than it used to have. It used to be brown. It fell off. And I did the wonder thing. I put duct tape on it to keep it together. That good thing. And what's really interesting, as I was looking at the story, it's on pages. And for those of you who don't know what books are, they are these things that you hold. It's like an iPad in your hand. And so you have this. And I'm looking, and I was looking in this Bible. The story of Lazarus is on page 1618 and 1619. And everything that happens on page 1618 is bad. It's real bad. Lazarus dies. Thomas is freaking out. That's P. Diddy. Mary's depressed. Martha's frustrated. But then, that's all on page 1618. But you know what's really cool? When you turn the page, things get better. Things get real better. You turn the whole page. Because the last thing that I have on your list is the reason why there's so many people that are stuck on page 1618. And you're stuck in your pain. You're dead in your pain. I want to read to you a scripture, if I can find it right here. Give me a second. A scripture from 1 Corinthians about pain, if I can find it. I just had it right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. No, it disappeared. But the 1 Corinthians chapter talks about, I'll find it as soon as I'm done the sermon today. It talks about and shares about, here we go, found it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to do, can everybody count? Everybody count. This is like biblical Sesame Street. Okay, here we go. I want you to count everything negative in these couple verses that I read to you. All right, so I'll give you a for instance. It starts off in chapter 4, the God of all comfort who comforts us in our troubles. There's one. Okay, you got me? Okay, so we got, how many we got so far? One. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves receive from God. For as we share abundantly in the sufferings, good, of Christ, so that our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces patient endurance in the same sufferings we suffer. What are we up to now? Six, right? Now, we have one per verse. Hold on. Get your seats here. And our hope in you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, what number? So also we share in your comfort. We do not want you to be informed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles, what number? We experienced in the province of Asia, for we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, 10, so that we despaired of life itself, 11. We indeed felt that we had received a sentence of death, 12. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on Jesus who raised us from the dead. He has delivered us from deadly peril. What are we on? 13, there we go. And will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Where are we at? 14. As you help by our prayers. This goes on and on and on and on and on and on again. In verse 4 of this chapter, he tells us something very, very important. He says, for we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that we have surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. For you thought that one, you thought one was bad. Listen to this one. For we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Christ so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. Is that depressing or what? Because I got to tell you something. When we're looking at this verse and we are dead in our pains, Jesus promised us something. He promised us that in this life you will have trouble. Expect it. And there is this belief that just because we decide to go to church a little bit, because we decide to read our Bible a little bit, besides we may even come to a relationship with Christ, that all problems go away and we skip through the daisies. That's not how it is. How it is that we can make it through them because we have somebody who's greater, because he took all of our troubles and all our infirmities and all our pains and all our sin upon a cross. And he died and he rose again. But they didn't get that at this point. They didn't get that so much that at this point we have an issue that they're dead in their pain. But you know what they need to do? The problem is because there are so many Christians that are living in page 1618. We love 1618 because we don't love it, but we live there. But guess what it's time to do? The resurrection makes it time to turn the page. It makes it time to turn the page. In verse 22 of this verse, I find it very, very interesting that here is Martha. Martha, who is distraught and dealing with all these kind of things. And Jesus is talking to her. And even in this whole stuff, where were you, Jesus, in the delay? She comes to this point and she says to him this in verse 22. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. But I know that even now, God will give you what you ask. Even though we are dead in our delay, dead in our discouragement, dead in our doubts, and dead in our pain, I still believe that even now, God will do what you want. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of us, even in this room, watching online, and there's billions of people in this world that need an even now moment from Christ. That even though everything is falling apart, even now, he can still do something. Say with me, even now. Look at the person next to you. Even now. Even now. Because somebody needs an even now moment right now. Even now when you are discouraged, the presence of Christ can come in and build your faith. Even now when you feel alone, like there's no one there, the presence of the Holy Spirit can come and give you peace that passes all understanding. Even now, God can reach in to your messed up family and put it straight by healing, forgiveness, and restoration. Even now, when everything looks impossible, you serve a risen Lord who all things are possible. Even now, when your heart may be cold and callous to the things of God, even now, in this moment, God can soften your heart and draw you to his presence and tell you how much he loves you. Even now, there's something that's dead in your life, and the resurrection of power of Jesus Christ can bring it to life. Jesus says to her in the next verse, when she says, even now, I know. He says this, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know he will at the resurrection in the last days. And Jesus says, wait a second. I want to tell you something. I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying, what he's saying right here is the resurrection is not an event. He's saying it's a person. It's me. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not what Jesus does. It's who he is. It's his nature. Resurrection is his nature. And you know what's really cool? When dead things come in contact with the resurrection, they come to life and they can't die. Jesus looks at the tomb where Lazarus stinketh much, and he tells the disciples, take that stone away. And then Jesus called into a loud voice, I assume because dead people can't hear. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Anybody know why he said, Lazarus, come forth? Because the resurrection power of Jesus is so powerful that he said, come forth. People would have been popping out of the tombs right and left. Because he's the resurrection. And when he says, come on, everything that's dead has to come to life. in your life, you have some things. I love the comparison between this. You have Jesus, who's between Jesus and Lazarus. Jesus is dead in a tomb, and there's a stone blocking it. Lazarus is dead in a tomb, and there's a stone blocking it. When Jesus goes to Lazarus, he tells the disciples, roll the stone away. And when the women go to the tomb on that first Easter, they say, who's going to roll the stone away? Well, the simple answer to that is, some of you feel dead on the inside. You've lost your faith. You've lost your hope. You're dead in delay, discouragement, doubts, and through the pain that you've experienced. You feel trapped in a tomb. You feel like you don't have any strength to roll the stone away. And guess what? You don't. Because there's only one person who can roll the stone away, and his name is Jesus. Nobody, he needed nobody to roll his stone away. He said, come out. And when Jesus says, come out, dead things come to life. Picture Lazarus. He's all tied up. He had to get up after stinking. He still smelled, too. He didn't get a bath before he came out. He comes out, and he's all wrapped like a mummy coming out. And Jesus says, get them things off on him. Get those things off. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. The resurrection is not what he does. It's who he is. And our sins can be forgiven because he is good. We can be set free, not because you are strong, but because he is the resurrection and the life. He is God's Son, one of a kind. And on the cross, as we talked about Friday evening, he said, Father, you sent me to do what I needed to do. It is finished. And he into your hands I commit my spirit. And the earth went dark and it shook. And the people who believed in him had a page 1618 experience. But guess what? 2 days later, the page flipped. On page 1619, and he arose in victory, power, and might. Some of us are so stuck in page 1618 in our lives that we have no hope of 1619. Some of us are so stuck in our dead, tomb-filled existence because of things that have been done to us or to people that we love and care about that we have completely put a stone over our hearts when it comes to God. But he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. The greatest thing that ever happened in the world was when Jesus fulfilled who he is by rising from the dead. God did something that we could not do for ourselves in Jesus. And it's interesting that he says this to Martha. He says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe it? Belief is much more, as the praise team comes up today, belief is so much more than head knowledge. There's a lot of people that are going to miss heaven by this distance. You got it in your head. You know it's there, but in your heart and your life, you're not living it out. He is the resurrection of life. And if you have dead areas in your life, use this time now to go to Jesus. And to be with him. So I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to ask that you stand as our worship team leads us today. And I'll be up front. And others will be up front to pray with you. So bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Father, I pray today that your word and your presence would build faith in your people. And as everyone is praying today, I know that there are those in this room and maybe watching the service now or later this week that are hurting, they're struggling, they have trials that I can't even begin to imagine that I would have to face. And for them right now, they may be saying to themselves, I want them to take evaluation and say, Jack, I really do need somebody to pray for me. Would you do that? Because I feel discouraged. I have doubts, and I'm wondering why God hasn't shown up on time. He's delayed, and I'm so hurt and in pain because of what's going on. So, God, I thank you that you are so good and so big and know the intimate details of every situation in our life. God, I pray that by your power you would intervene right now in this room. For those who are watching, for those who are hurting and feel alone, God, I pray that you would be their ever-present help in a time of trouble. That your presence, even right now, your Holy Spirit would be their comforter, Because those verses that I read all about pressed and not crushed and all those things, the reason why we're not that way is because in between each of those things it says comfort, the comfort which we have in you. And God, I know that so many of us are living lives stuck on page 16, 18 when nothing is good and we can't seem to get the page turned. But that's what the resurrection of Christ does. That's who the resurrection is, that it's a page turn in history. That we're no longer bound to sin and death, but we can turn the page, see the goodness and the righteousness of God. Build our faith, God, in every single way. In all ways, in all places, may we seek you. You said, I am the resurrection and the life. And you ask us, do you believe this? Do you believe this? You said to Lazarus in his stinketh dead life that was long gone, you said, come out. And you gave him a life. You gave him what John 10:10 says, that I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. God, I pray for that. I pray for the breath that you've given us and thanking you for that. But God, I don't know about anybody else in this room, but I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of a grind and feeling like I'm carrying a weight around with me every single day of my life. And what I need right now, God, is I need that abundant life. And so I need you to speak to those dead areas of mine and everybody else's life in here. Those areas of doubt and delay and all those other things, those areas of pain and hurt. And I need you to speak to it right now, God, and say, come out. Come out and bring life abundantly. For you are the resurrection and the life, and I believe it with all my heart and all my soul. For those of you who reach anything like that I've said, or maybe you never have made a commitment to Christ, and you're at a point right now saying, I need to know this Jesus because I'm tired of being tired with everybody's eyes closed. If that's you and you, any of this made sense to you and any of this is what you need in your life to make it through, just raise your hand right where you are. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand and just say, I need this, God. There we go. Go ahead. There we go. I need it in my life. And so I want to pray for you right now, and you can pray this to yourself. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. I believe you died and you are risen so I could be forgiven, I could serve you. Fill me with your Spirit so I could follow you the rest of my life. I thank you for new life. Today I give you mine in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The altar's open for prayer. Please come.
So I'll shout out your name from the rooftops. I'll proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. And I am yours.
out your name.
So I'll shout out your name. And I will shout out your name.
This morning, in singing this song, I was reminded that we sang that song last year. And it's one of my favorite songs that we sing. But more importantly, it's about what it means. Because it was somebody else's favorite song. It was very special to some people here and just people in our community. A lady named Lauren, who was 28 years old. And struggled with cancer for several years. And she loved that song, I don't think only because she liked the beat to it, but because she liked the message behind it. And she was here in early April last year when we sang that, and she always sang it to the top of her lungs. That I'll shout at your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. And guess what? She was pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned with the cancer that was in her body. And a little over a month later, she went on to be with the Lord. I'm so thrilled people are here, and I'm thrilled that you're watching, but this is real. This is real, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And I'm thankful to God that Lauren knew that, and that today in heaven, she's celebrating her first Easter and probably driving them nuts to sing that song again. And she's dancing all around because it's real. And then one day I'm going to get to see her in the fullness where, as we sang, I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. That's what it's about. The scripture tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us this, and I mentioned it before. If Jesus has not risen from the dead, then our teaching is useless. And we are to be pitied over everyone. So whatever dead area of your life you have, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And we have to come to the point where we say, so I'll shout out your name. From the rooftops I proclaim that I am yours. No matter what the situation comes, no matter what happens, I am yours. I would much rather be in the hands of the resurrection and the life. For all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't go by another Easter. They're just looking, yeah, another sermon about the resurrection, another sermon about Jesus. If you miss heaven by this much, you missed it by a ton. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he asked a question of Martha. Do you believe this? My question to you is, do you believe? Amen and have a great one.